Yes, Mayor, I'm here.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Wednesday, July 8th afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Hardesty?
Here.
Udaly?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
And I am also here. Under Portland City Code and State Law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the city's made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. This meeting is available to the public on the city's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to council by emailing the council clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your continued patience, flexibility, and understanding as we manage through this challenging situation to do the city's business. Now we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Lindley Reese. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I noticed your haircut, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
A good way to sack up, Lindley.
Thank you, Commissioner. We have some rules that I will announce. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the city council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony, and individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. And please be aware that all council meetings are recorded. Thank you.
Very good. Carla, we have one item for this afternoon, item 550. If you could read that, please.
Amend Planning and Zoning Code to extend the expiration date for some land use approvals. Maintain inclusionary housing rates outside the central city and gateway plan districts, and allow for virtual neighborhood contact meetings.
Very good. And just by way of giving us all context, I'll provide some introductory remarks in a moment. There are a number of amendments that I'd like to introduce on behalf of the Bureau. Four to be specific, we're going to hear some public testimony on those amendments. The record's going to stay open for 1 week, and then we'll roll this over to a second reading to vote on the amendments, and potentially, if an emergency clause is later added, a final vote tentatively scheduled for July 22nd at 3:30 p.m. You don't need to remember that right now because that'll all be covered later in this hearing. First of all, I want to thank BPS staff for presenting the expiration date extension project, the subject of today's hearing. As we all know, the COVID-19 pandemic has had a widespread impact on our city, including on the construction and development sectors of our economy and on the development review process here at the City of Portland. At the start of the pandemic, the city staff heard from land use review and permit applicants about the difficulties in meeting development review deadlines following the closure of the Development Services Center. Well, the Bureau of Development staff have adapted to a new way of conducting land use reviews and issuing permits remotely. There still remains a concern that slowdowns to application processing and on-job sites, physical distancing requirements, and COVID-related economic uncertainty are causing land use reviews to expire before applicants can actually act on them. These concerns led to a recognition that the city could take proactive steps to provide some relief to applicants affected by the pandemic. As the expiration project began to take shape with a focus on extending the expiration dates of land use reviews, several other COVID-related issues that could be addressed by the zoning code amendments began to emerge. Today, we'll hear from staff who will present recommended amendments to Title 33, which is the city's zoning code, that address these issues. I'm going to turn it over to BPS staff Joe Zender and JP McNeil to walk us through the proposal this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor. For the record, I'm Joe Zender, Chief Planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And I'm here with JP McNeil, as the mayor said, who's also from BPS and who's our lead staff on this project. So the package we have, proposals we have today includes 8 amendments. Most of these are changes to extend the effective dates for steps and approval in the land use review process. It's similar to the packages approved by City Council in response to the last recession. The impact is to give applicants more time to complete projects without having to start over. And the package also includes some changes in specific plan districts and interim code provisions. I'll now turn it over to JP, who's going to walk us through the 8 amendments. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Good afternoon, Mayor and members of the City Council. As Joe mentioned, I'm JP McNeil. I'm a planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm here to present the expiration date extension project for you today. So as the mayor mentioned, this is a project that would address several issues related to the administration of the zoning code and the economic disruption that's been caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and the disruptions that's had on development markets. So the proposal brought to you today will amend Title 33 to provide relief to applicants impacted by the pandemic. So I am going to quickly share my screen. Hopefully everyone can see that now. Okay, so let me, whoops, there we go. All right, so these are the 8 proposals that I'll be covering today. I think Joe already mentioned them. Before I get into the proposals, though, there are impacts of the pandemic are felt at various stages in the development review process. So to help illustrate how the proposals fit into that process, I want to give a brief overview of what a large project coming in for review and permitting goes through at the city. And note that not all the projects go through all of these steps. It depends on the size and the level of complexity of the project. But before submitting for a land use review, most large projects go through some form of early assistance, whether it's an optional early assistance appointment or a design advice request or pre-application conference, which is required for most large land use reviews. Also, for many large projects, the applicant needs to go through the neighborhood contact process, and that requires presenting the development proposal to neighbors and the neighborhood association to get feedback on the proposal before they submit their application. Some, but not all, projects need to go through a land use review. And at that point, city staff evaluate the development proposal against the approval criteria in the zoning code. And there are a variety of different land use review types, many of which I'm sure you're familiar with, the design review or environmental review or subdivisions. And subdivisions, just to note, because there's a proposal about final plats, and the final plat is the second part of the subdivision process. So just hang on to that. And then after approval of the land use review, the applicant can submit for the building permits. So this project touches on pre-application conferences, neighborhood contact, final plats, land use reviews, and then there are a few other things in the zoning code it touches on as well that aren't really captured in this sequence. So moving into the proposals, and they're ordered in the way they move through the development process. So as I just mentioned, pre-application conferences, or pre-apps as they're commonly called, they're part of the land use review process that provide applicants with technical, design, and procedural assistance prior to submitting their application. And so this proposal would extend the time frame for pre-application conferences from 1 year, which is what the current code is, to 2 years. The next proposal is the neighborhood contact proposal, and this addresses the issue of holding public meetings at a time when social distancing causes problems with that. So to meet social distancing guidelines, this allows meetings to occur virtually, provided there is a phone-in option as well. The next proposal is the land use reviews, and this one is a little more complicated, so there's a graphic here to try to help explain it. So the zoning code contains regulations that specify when land use reviews expire. Most approvals expire after 3 years of the final land use decision, provided that development hasn't already begun. Now, due to the pandemic, the processing of permits has slowed down, construction timelines have slowed, financing is harder to obtain, and there's just a generally uncertain market condition happening now. So this means that some land use approvals have expired or will expire because it's more difficult for projects to move forward. And this increases project costs, causes delays, and could hinder the city's economic recovery. So to address those issues, this project proposes to extend the expiration dates of land use reviews and preliminary plans approved between July of 2017 through the end of January of this year through 2020, and those would all be extended until January 1 of 2024. So looking at this graphic, all of the projects that are within that blue period would be extended until the end of that green arrow to January 1 of 2024. And just as a note, this project aligns with similar land use review extensions that were passed in 2009 and 2012 that were in response to the Great Recession of 2008. The next proposal is the final plat extension. So as I mentioned, the final plat process, it's the second step of the land division process. And so currently the code says that a final plat that's been inactive for 180 days can be voided. And this extension simply extends that 180 days of inactivity to 365 days of inactivity. The next proposal is for the Conway Master Plan proposal. So the Conway Master Plan, it's a plan that's guiding the redevelopment of the Conway blocks in Northwest Portland. So this is in the photo here. It's a large site of approximately 17 acres that's currently being redeveloped. And the Conway Master Plan was approved in October of 2012 and is good for 10 years. So it expires in October 2nd of 2022. So this proposal would extend that expiration of from October 2nd, 2022 until January 1 of 2024. And one reason for this is that we've heard from the Neighborhood Association that they support this because there were concerns of what would happen to a public park that's part of a master plan if this were to expire, the Conway Master Plan were to expire before the project has been completed. The next proposal is the non-conforming upgrade agreements.
Excuse me, JP. Sure. Mayor, I have a couple of questions, a couple of slides back. I've been trying to get your attention, but...
I'm sorry, when I have the presentations up, the participant list disappears, so I apologize for that. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. JP, could we go back a couple of slides to the land use review slide?
Sure.
Thank you. This one. So explain this to me again. So we have projects in various stages of development. From July 2017 through the end of this year. Why an arbitrary number like January 1st, 2024? What's the magic in that?
Well, the magic was just looking forward 3 years. We kind of looked back at the previous land use review extensions and what they did, and they were granting about 3 years out into the future. And so that gives us 3 years from now or the end of this year for applicants to figure out, to get their projects completed. There is some thought given to not wanting to go too far in the future because codes and the code changes over time. And so if we have approvals that are approved in 2017 and we were to, you know, indefinitely extend it, things, you know, and it's 2028 or something, things have changed over time. So we wanted to balance that.
Thank you, JP. That's exactly my point. I think what we thought in 2017 about what the best land use opportunities were and what we would think in 2020 could be as different as night and day. And so the fact that we are headed into unknown economic territory, some big things have happened since 2017. One is the climate justice resolution that we just passed as a city council. Another is us prioritizing BIPOC communities and the lack of investment in those communities in the city of Portland. And so are we tying ourselves into old plans that are not going to be adaptable to the new visions and the new priorities that the city of Portland is trying to move forward?
Well, we would be looking things that were approved in 20. So for example, a design review that was approved in 2017 would be, yes, extended till 2024. The idea, I guess the question of the policy issues of allowing things that were approved in the under that was allowed in 2017, and if that the general climate has changed in between now and then, I think those are policy issues that the council can hammer out. We were looking back at the economic impact. Similar, we had a model from 2008 that looked at the economic recession then, and so we were looking at providing similar relief as was done then because things are the economy is in flux right now.
But what happened in 2008 is African-American community was devastated and they have not recovered from the economic devastation of 2008. And so if we're gonna put the same policies in place that we used in 2008 without a racial justice lens, then we're gonna get the same outcomes that we got in 2008.
I take your point, Commissioner Hardesty. We did not have, this was a pretty quick project that was moving through the process quickly to try to capture things before they expired. And so there wasn't a lot of time spent looking at this in the same way through the racial justice lens.
So Joe, I see you may be trying to pop in here. Why would the city council tie our hands to 2024? Especially as it relates to land use, knowing what we know today based on what we knew in 2017?
And I don't know the specifics on the parts that are in that pipeline. That blue part is sort of the pipeline like before permits that are still to be filed. And we were trying to just respond to the economic change. Since 2017, I was trying to think, I can't remember when we adopted the inclusionary housing, but I think this captures all those projects that would be still working through the land use system here are all going to be have inclusionary housing. If they trigger it, would apply.
That's not true, right? Inclusionary housing didn't
trigger February 2nd of 2017.
Yeah, that's part of what we looked at. We had a version before Central City Commissioner, so that's what that is, I think. And then, but that was the main one I think we had our eye on.
And Joe, Commissioner Fritz wanted to get in on this as well. Commissioner Fritz.
Well, I just wanted to comment that we haven't made all that many changes. Well, we've recently made some changes to the zoning code, which may make it more attractive to do different kinds of developments. If you don't have to use the permit that you've already got, if they decide that it's more favorable to start over, they can. But otherwise, the rules in effect when they applied are the rules that count now. So we wouldn't, until you hopefully next year, make some changes in the zoning code to address the issues that you are concerned about, Commissioner Hardesty. the rules would still be the same in the zoning code. So I don't really see the how you would get to a different outcome.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Fritz. I guess for me, if we haven't done a racial justice analysis about which of these projects will be beneficial and which ones won't, then I'm not sure why we would extend it to give the opportunity to extend land use decisions through 2024. I would suspect that coming out of this economic downturn, we would want more flexibility and not less. I can understand some extension, but a blanket extension is what is giving me some concern, especially for these huge land plots that, again, we were thinking one way before the pandemic hit, and I think our priorities and our thought process might be a lot different now. And so what I'm hearing is just kind of a blanket extension as compared to any analysis about what makes sense and what doesn't based on the current economic climate and based on what we learned coming out of 2008.
So if I could jump in on this, because this is a good discussion and I'm appreciating it. This isn't just about the economic downturn. The reason we're extending the deadline is these are projects that were put forth in good faith under the rules that existed. And the city of Portland slowed the process down when we shut down the Bureau of Development Services. And so the concern that we're trying to address here is we've had developers that have gone out, that have done the work, they've gone through their review process, they've secured necessary community approvals, they've received their financing, and we slowed the process down. And so this is an effort to make good on what is effectively a partnership by extending our deadline so that these projects aren't unilaterally now over the time frame that was allowed, because we were the ones who slowed it down, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Mayor. That does make sense to me. I understand that. That makes sense to me. What I don't know is that what the magnitude of this extension means. And I will learn it as we continue in this conversation, but that hit me as an opportunity to do something different based on where we are as compared to us extending a timeline to continue the status quo.
Yeah, no, that's a point well taken. And my suspicion is, we're not doing this with any expectation of a quid pro quo from any of these developments or projects. My guess is that even with the extension of these deadlines, some of these projects still aren't going to happen as a result of the economic consequences of COVID. But this is really the focus on our piece of this and making good on the partnership and the efforts that already have been made by these development projects under the rules as they existed at the time.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. That's very helpful. And I just want to say the sound is really bad this afternoon. I don't know. People keep fading in and out, and there's an echo.
All right. Well, then I try to turn off my monitor when I can, because that seems to take some of the bandwidth. And then let's all make a good effort to stay muted when we're not talking. That helps too.
Okay. Are we okay to continue the presentation?
Go for it.
Okay. So where was I? I was at we made it past the non-conforming, or to the non-conforming upgrades. I think we made it just past that one, and we were getting to the inclusionary.
JP, I don't think you covered that one.
Okay, did I not? Okay, I think I started on that one, and then you're right, didn't finish it. So the non-conforming upgrades agreements, non-conforming upgrades are required for large alterations on sites with non-conforming upgrades. Generally, we're talking about upgrades to things that don't meet the current zoning code for parking, landscaping, bike parking, parking screening, things along those lines. And so in some cases, the applicant can enter into an agreement with the city that extends the period that they can complete the upgrades for a certain period of time. And so this proposal would extend the timeline for any non-conforming upgrade agreements that were in effect when the pandemic hit, which we've set the date as March 8th of 2020, which is when the governor first declared a state of emergency. So from March 8th of 2020, we extend that timeline through to January 1st of 2022. Okay. The next proposal is the inclusionary housing extension. So this one's a little different. So the inclusionary housing standards, they set the rate at which affordable housing units must be provided for residential projects with 20 or more units. And so these standards, or the rate at which affordable housing must be provided, are lower for areas that are outside of the central city and for Gateway. And so to date, since the inclusionary housing was originally passed, these rates have been extended by 2 years. They were set to expire at the end of 2018, and they were expired and set to till January 1st of 2021. So, and just as you can see here, under the current code, the standards in Central City or Gateway, 10% of units for projects that are subject to inclusionary housing, 10% of all units has to meet the 60% median family income, or 20% of the units have to be at 80% median family income. And outside the Central City or Gateway, it's 8% and 15%. And so this project proposes to delay the January 2021 increase of the affordable housing rates outside the Central City and Gateway for an additional 3 years to 2024. And the final proposal, this is actually something that is pretty straightforward. It's fixing something that we missed with the Better Housing by Design project when that was adopted. And these terms that are on the screen here, they should have been added to the list of terms chapter of the zoning code, and they were inadvertently left out, and so we are adding that in now. That's it for the proposals. Testimony, we received 8 pieces of testimony written to the PSC. To date, we've received 2 pieces of written testimony to City Council that I've seen, and I believe there's 7 testifiers registered to speak today at the hearing. The Planning and Sustainability Commission. And so that's it for the presentation that I've got here. This is just more information is at the project website. So unless there are any questions, I will turn it back to the mayor.
Any questions at this point, colleagues? All right, before we open the hearing to public testimony, I'd like to introduce 4 amendments to the PSC recommended draft and the ordinance that has been submitted. I'd like to move and second these amendments now so that we can hear public testimony about them. My colleagues and I will also be able to ask questions and discuss these amendments after public testimony, should we so choose. First, I'd like to propose an amendment that aligns the start date of proposal number 3 for land use review decisions retroactive to the start of the pandemic. Specifically, the amendment I propose moves the start date back to March 8th, 2017, as was discussed. I understand that we cannot apply the retroactive amendments to sites in unincorporated Multnomah County or to land divisions, so staff's proposed language excludes those situations. We'll call this Mayor's Amendment Number 1. Can I get a second?
Second.
Second from Commissioner Udaly. Second, I'd like to also introduce an amendment to extend the proposal to allow for virtual public meetings until January 1st, 2024, to match up with the other proposals. We don't know how long this pandemic will be with us, and it makes sense to extend this proposal longer than the end of this year, should it be necessary. We'll call this Mayor's Amendment Number 2. Can I get a second? Second from Commissioner Hardesty. The third amendment I'd like to introduce is to reduce the amount of time the lower inclusionary housing rates would continue to apply outside the central city and gateway from 3 years to 1 year. The inclusionary housing program is a key zoning tool for increasing permanent affordable housing. I'm committed to a Portland Housing Bureau study focused on ways to improve the inclusionary housing program and believe 1 year extension provides a reasonable time frame to align with this effort. We can always, of course, extend it if necessary. We'll call this Mayor's Amendment 3.
Second.
Commissioner Fritz? Sorry, Commissioner Daly seconds. Commissioner Fritz, did you have a question?
I had a question about the previous one, but you, if you want to, you're not done with your amendments yet, right?
What? Yeah, I'll get through the last one, and then I'll be happy to go back and answer questions. And so the final amendment I'd like to introduce will postpone the effective dates of the system development charges for the bureaus of environmental services, water, and transportation. The pandemic has impacted the number of building permits BDS has been able to process, of course, causing delays that impacted applicants' abilities to get permits before the SDC fee increases became effective on July 1st, 2020. This amendment delays the effective date of the new rates until August 1st, 2020 to account for permit processing delays at BDS and allows applicants to minimize the financial impact of the SDC fee increases. We'll call this Amendment 4. Can I get a second?
Second. Second.
Second from Commissioner Fritz, representing the utility bureaus. And then, Commissioner, you had a question regarding, I believe it was Amendment 2. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. It's about the virtual meetings.
Yes.
And so I'm a little concerned about extending to 2024, and although virtual meetings are more convenient for some people, they are very difficult for other people. And as you move forward, I would be concerned if the city decides to go to all virtual meetings. I mean, we just see how few people sign up for communications here and how few people testify. And then if you were talking about land use hearings, those would be very difficult to participate from remotely and to get evidence into the record. So I'm willing to support the amendment. I just wanted to put that on the record that that's a concern I have.
Yeah, and that makes good sense. I think we want to modernize the process, and we heard from a lot of people that first of all, we don't know how long the pandemic's going to be with us. And number two, there are some cases where being able to do it virtually might encourage more people to participate. But I think that's still very much a live conversation. And I don't know if Joe or somebody from the Bureau has additional commentary or thoughts on that.
Yeah, this is Joe Zender, Mayor. We haven't done research into how to forecast how that's going to affect participation. We actually have just recently adopted the new neighborhood notification or neighborhood contact requirements. So all of that's new enough that we don't have data on it. We were, for the purposes of what we're putting through City Council here, it seems to be working, but we haven't done research to the neighborhood associations.
Okay, very, very good. And I see Commissioner Hardesty has a question. Then I'm going to turn it over to Kurt just to briefly talk about the Utility Bureau amendment that we also just put on the table. Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. My question is the enabling us to use virtual meetings for neighborhood activity doesn't actually require us to use virtual meeting. Am I right in how I read that? Because if we are able to do more in person, we may want to do a combination of the two so that we give people various opportunities to be able to participate. So that's my question in regard to what Commissioner Fritz put on the table. And I guess my second one is, I would feel better about virtual meetings when people who signed up for communication, we could see them and have some kind of engagement. I think it's not the same kind of interaction when the public testifies, when we're not able to actually see them, right? Even if it is virtually. So I knew we were working on that. I don't know where we are in that process, but this amendment actually brought that back to my attention, that was a commitment that we had made and months ago. So,
well, Commissioner, I do believe that people who have the technology can be seen on camera. The problem is people like me don't have the technology to have that visual. So then that introduces an inequity that some testifiers are able to be seen and others are not.
Well, actually, I thought that we were not visualizing people who were signing up to testify on events. We were purposely not putting their visual on the screen because we did not enable that. So I not to take anything away from your point, Commissioner Fritz, because I agree. I agree that the fact that we don't have a language interpretation happening simultaneously is a barrier to people participating. The fact that we have to ask for sign language is a barrier for people to participate. So this will not solve all our communications problems, but it might be a good tool to not disband when this pandemic has ended.
All right, well, there's certainly room for discussion there, and we'll keep it open for public testimony if people have thoughts on that. Commissioner Udaley's been waiting patiently. Commissioner Udaley.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to quickly add that coming up with alternatives for civic engagement during the shutdown, as well as bridging the digital divide, have been near the top of my list of priorities and something my office has been working on diligently. We're in the process of negotiating a contract for an online civic engagement platform that I think will just be a godsend during the shutdown, but will continue to be vital afterward, because so many more people will be able to participate than can show up to our weekly city council meetings. And we are working on that digital divide issue as well. So just want to acknowledge those are valid concerns, and good work is being done, and I support this amendment in the meantime.
Thank you, Commissioner. And Kurt, you wanted to provide a little bit of context for the Utility Bureau Amendment Number 4.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of City Council, for the record, Kurt Kruger with Development Services Division within the Portland Bureau of Transportation. My comments will be brief, but I wanted to provide context for the request to consider this amendment today. Today, I'm speaking on behalf of my colleagues at the Bureau of Environmental Services, the Water Bureau at PBOT. Development bureaus typically bring annual fee change ordinance to councils in the spring, with new review fees and system development charges taking effect on July 1. SDC fees for water, BES, and transportation automatically adjust outside of the plan review fee adjustment process. In a typical year, the month of June is a very busy period for BDS as customers rush to submit building permit applications in advance of these fee changes on July 1. Due to the impacts and disruptions the COVID pandemic has created, not all of our customers have been able to successfully submit building permits in advance of last week's July 1 deadline. This amendment would push out the effective date of the new SDC rates 30 days, and the new rates would go into effect August 1st. This extension, if approved, will reduce some customer frustration and project costs for those unable to get their permits into the queue. I appreciate the council's willingness to consider this amendment, and also want to thank the City Attorney's Office and your council staff for helping us pull this together in this amendment in the last 24 hours. Thank you, and I'm available for questions if you have them.
All right, great. Thank you very much for that. Today we will hear public, we have four amendments on the table. We'll hear public testimony on the proposal. Since we're holding this hearing remotely, we will be holding the record open for an additional week until 5 p.m. on July 15th. For members of the public who'd like to submit additional written testimony, testimony can be submitted by visiting the project website at www.portland.gov/bps/edep and click on the link to email testimony to the council clerk. All right, so we have people signed up. I believe, Carla, we have seven people signed up. My notes say 2 minutes, but is there any reason, legal counsel, why we can't give people 3 minutes today if there's only seven people signed up?
No, you certainly can give people 3 minutes.
Let's give people 3 minutes, name for the record. And I also want to remind anybody who may be testifying today as a lobbyist, you must declare which lobbying entity you are authorized to represent in accordance with Title II of the City Code. Commissioner Udaly, did you have your hand up?
Nope.
Good. All right. Good. Carla, go ahead and call the first individual, please.
First person is Allison Reynolds.
Hi, Allison.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, great. So I am Allison Reynolds with Stoll Reeves, and I would like to express my appreciation for the city taking action to alleviate impacts to development from the COVID-19 pandemic and the resulting economic recession. I'm here in support of the proposal before you and to also speak in support of Mayor's Amendment Number 1, which is the amendment to backdate the relief this ordinance gives to projects to March. And so as the mayor explained, this amendment gives relief to projects whose land use approvals had not yet expired as of March 8 of this year, and will ensure that the projects impacted by the COVID-related processing slowdowns can go forward. I'm working on a project that is directly impacted by this amendment with the developer of the Pearl East office building at Northwest 13th and Gleason. And that project's land use approval will expire before the relief under this ordinance becomes effective if that amendment isn't adopted. If the amendment is adopted, then that will not, you know, that project won't expire. And this group has been actively pursuing a building permit for the project since November of 2019, which would have given them more than enough time to get that issued under normal circumstances. However, the processing delays that BDS needed to implement to prioritize essential projects during the pandemic, which we fully agree with them doing, that started in March, made it impossible for Pearl East to receive their permit on time. And so I believe this amendment fulfills the goal of this project to provide relief to projects impacted by both the pandemic processing changes that BDS had to implement and the economic recession. And so I urge your support for that. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Allison, we appreciate it. Next individual, please, Carla.
Is Dana Krawczyk.
Hi, Dana.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Councilors. I'd like to reiterate Allison's appreciation for the city considering this extraordinary relief during these extraordinary times. I'm testifying on behalf of clients that are in favor of the Conway Master Plan Amendment and the Nonconforming Upgrades Amendment. The Conway Master Plan Amendment will allow that cohesive and comprehensive master plan that was supported by neighbors after an extensive process to be extended for a short period of time. This amendment is supported by the Northwest District Association, property owners, and developers in the master plan. I also support and request your approval of the proposal related to nonconforming upgrades to allow folks that are trying to upgrade their property additional time because of the delays to on-site work and permitting. With that, I'll conclude my testimony, but I encourage you, if you have any questions about either proposal, I'm happy to try to respond.
Thank you, Dana, appreciate it.
Next is Christy White.
Hello, Christy.
Can you all hear me?
Yep.
Thank you. This is Christy Carlson White testifying on behalf of a number of developers and landowners who work both inside and outside the central city. First, thank you for responding to the moment we're in with this thoughtful proposal and recommendation that I believe is calibrated to the market challenges that are presented by COVID. I'm just going to testify quickly on two issues. First, fully support the Planning and Sustainability Commission's recommendation to extend permitting timelines, including for those projects in Conway. The impact of COVID has hit those projects like every other in planning and approval stages during this difficult time, and this extension will help the community realize the full vision of the Conway Master Plan. I also have testimony about PSC's recommendation to extend the current IH rates to 2024. I understand, and Mayor, from your presentation that the city has prioritized the study of that current program and is about to launch that study, but was delayed like everything else by COVID response. That study is badly needed to diagnose how we are truly doing on production of IH units. Anecdotally, and this is anecdotally from my end of the continuum where I see projects trying to go forward and failing, it seems we're not yet delivering on our aspirations for IH unit production. I think we need to study why we have what seems like a lower count or a more anemic response than we've aspired to, and how to increase that production that is more badly needed than ever. PSC proposed a 2024 date, which would allow for that study and then any changes that were necessary for the IH program to boost production. But if what you're saying, Mayor, is that we're going to study this and we need a year to study it, and as a result of that study, if we need further extension because we need to adopt program changes that will help production of units, I think that's also a result that would be positive, as long as we understand and diagnose this issue and my clients can do what they can to help meet the city's aspiration on production of IH units. Thanks for this opportunity to testify.
Yeah, thank you, Christy. If I could just briefly respond to that as well. So to be clear, my interest in doing an IH study has not wavered at all. I think it's incumbent upon us when we pass any policy to know what the impacts of that policy is, whether it's positive or negative. And I have said that if the IH program needs a true up or revisions, I'm certainly open to introducing that as the housing commissioner. And I had proposed that study. In fact, I had funded that study. What happened, of course, is then we went into an economic tail slide, and many, many things that the city of Portland was planning on doing went by the wayside as we sought to close a $75 million budget gap. That was prior to all of the questions around police expenditures. And so we took the resources that had been allocated towards that IH study and put it in emergency rental assistance instead through the Housing Bureau. So that doesn't mean I'm any less committed to it or think it's any less important. I just had different priorities with the budget in the heat of the moment, given that we have this massive budget shortfall and emergency community needs. I have a longer term question that we can talk about later, which is, you know, I was prepared to do that market study this year, assuming that we were in a relatively stable market. And right now, I would say the real estate market is anything but stable, and I'm not sure this is the right time for us to do a market analysis in the midst of an obvious economic shock. So the question that I will have for everybody is, what is the right time to reengage the study and have it be meaningful, as opposed to right now, where I don't think we'd have meaningful results? That's a longer term question. But thank you for your testimony. But the answer is yes, I'm committed to it. I'm just looking for the right time to be able to do it. And I'm open to people's advice and counsel on that. Next individual, please, Carla.
Is Ezra Hammer.
Hi, Ezra.
Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor, Honorable Commissioners. Ezra Hammer here. With the Home Builders Association of Metropolitan Portland. Thank you for letting me join you this afternoon. We want to thank Sandra Wood and Joe Zender with Planning and Sustainability Bureau for working on these critical amendments. We've been supportive of this process from the beginning and thank the Planning and Sustainability Commission for moving forward what we believe is a fair and reasonable package given the severe economic downturn that the housing market has faced, coupled with the city's necessary triaging of accepting new applications and processing existing applications in order to respond to the pandemic. These twin challenges create unique situations that we absolutely believe are parallel to the challenges we faced in the Great Recession. If you look at the number of dwelling unit permits pulled for March, April, May, and for preliminary data in June, we're looking at 50% decreases year over year, which will be tremendously impactful 9 months and 12 months from now when those housing units are not available for Portlanders to purchase and rent. So again, we urge you to move forward with this package quickly. We thank you for your consideration and have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it as always. Thank you for being here.
Sorry, Mayor. I lost my screen here.
Yeah, I've had the same problem.
Oops. Ah.
Never works when you want it to.
Thank you. Gwen Baldwin.
Good afternoon, Gwen. How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. Mayor Wheeler, Council President Fritz, and members of the City Council, my name is Gwen Baldwin, and I'm here today as Executive Director of Oregon's Smart Growth, an organization committed to walkable, livable communities that are economically, socially, and environmentally sustainable and feasible. Oregon Smart Growth deeply appreciates the elements of the expiration date extension project and supports the adoption of several of the proposed amendments, including an extension of the option for virtual neighborhood contact until 2024, the language that applies the extensions to projects that have expired since March 8th or will expire, and when the impacts of COVID-19 created a pause for many project reviews, as well as the SDC fee increase suspension. These amendments are absolutely in line with the underlying goals of the ordinance and reflect an understanding and support of feasible housing and employment development in these challenging COVID-19 times. At the same time, I am concerned about the proposal to reduce the Planning and Sustainability Commission recommended 3-year extension of the inclusionary housing rate outside of Central City to just 1 year. And as the mayor has raised, this concern would be mitigated if we, you know, knew that the housing study, the inclusionary housing study, council approved more than a year ago, was refunded and back on track, because the alignment is really important. That if there is the data and analysis known, then we can apply it, all of us, to make good policy decisions into the future. But to have the expiration date happen before that data has been gathered and understood, I think is pretty challenging. And I truly appreciate the initial reprogramming of the funds to address the pandemic. You know, that was a tough time, and everyone responded quickly and understandably. Now we're at a point where it's important that council restores that funding and develops a robust scope through the market study to really look at all the elements of the program, so that the inclusionary housing program can really produce the level of affordable housing it was envisioned to create. In the more than 3 years since council implemented the inclusionary housing program, just 76 affordable rental units have been actually added to the market, so completed and rentable. That's not a program that's working as it needs to be to meet the need for housing affordability in this city. So I urge council, joining the mayor in committing to funding and moving forward on a robust market study scoped with stakeholders and done in time to inform data-driven policy review at the conclusion of the extension. So very much appreciate it. If that timing is such that that year doesn't make sense, then I would encourage that to go back to the Planning and Sustainability Commission recommendation for a 3-year extension. I also want to just thank again the council, the mayor, and particularly the planning and sustainability staff for all your work on this package under very tight timelines. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Next is Kurt Krieger.
Hi, Kurt.
Kurt Krieger. I'm with Bridge Housing. We are a developer of affordable housing, including the recently completed Vera. Thank you, Mayor, for participating in our virtual dedication ceremony last week. Bridge has about 1,200 units of affordable housing in the Portland area. We have about 6 projects in our pipeline. Company-wide, we have 12 projects under construction in 3 states and 76 affordable housing projects underway. We've been in business 37 years, and we're committed deeply to social equity. And furthering the goals of equity and inclusion through housing. We have a board of directors. Ed McNamara is our Portland-based director, and you may know him as a former city staffer for Mayor Hales. I would like to speak today to Mayor's Amendment Number 3. I was prepared to support the Planning and Sustainability Commission recommendation for the extension of the current offsets for inclusionary housing. But the mayor's recommendation, with his sincere commitment to undertake a robust, transparent review of the offsets, I think is very appropriate. I happen to be housing director for the city of Portland in 2015 to 2017 when inclusionary zoning was launched, and take personal point of pride that we undertook a very robust, inclusive process in 9 months from the date that the preemption on inclusionary zoning was passed by the Oregon legislature in a short session in 2016, which resulted in a unanimous vote of city council to make the ordinance effective February 2nd, 2017. We did that because we wanted the vested pipeline of projects that were already had land under contract to be able to go forward. This obviously extends that vested pipeline a bit further, but it is appropriate to evaluate whether or not the financial and non-financial offsets to inclusionary zoning are correct and correctly reflect the marketplace, as the mayor so eloquently mentioned. Be happy to respond to any questions you might have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it.
And the last person who signed up is Michelle Vives.
Greetings.
I'm unmuting. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. For the record, my name is Michelle Vives, and I represent Douglas Wilson Companies. Douglas Wilson Companies supports the City of Portland and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's efforts to address the economic impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on the development market. We are the court-appointed receiver for the property located at 1400 Northeast Multnomah, commonly known as the Mosaic Superblock, a five-acre site across from the Lloyd Center Mall that is currently a parking lot. The project for the site was entitled in September of 2016 for two mixed-use buildings with 677 apartments, 12 live-work units, and approximately 38,000 square feet of retail. The project is supported by the Sullivan's Gulch, Kearns, and Lloyd Community District Neighborhood Associations. As the court-appointed receiver for this property, it is our responsibility to preserve and enhance the value of this asset. The expiration date extension project ordinance seeks to provide projects more time to endure the current state of the market in the midst of a great economic uncertainty and acknowledges the impact to city permitting infrastructure to ensure development projects in Portland continue to move forward. To that end, as noted in our submitted written testimony, we suggest the following amendment to the expiration date extension project, and I will read it out loud here to you today. Within the city limits, final decisions that authorize 20 or more dwelling units and became effective between September 1st, 2016 and January 1st, 2021, expire if a city permit has not been issued or approved development by January 2024. And such approved development includes affordable dwelling units consistent with the requirements specified in Chapter 33.245. We hope this feedback will be incorporated into the ordinance. At a time in Portland's history when housing and commercial development are greatly needed to bounce back from the economic impacts of COVID-19, it is critical to protect local market asset value and capture development opportunities that translate into a boost to the local economy. Thank you again for bringing this ordinance forward. We look forward to further discussing with you.
Yeah, good. Thank you. And Michelle, I appreciate it. And I want you to know I put some thought into this as well. And I asked both the Bureau staff as well as the city attorney staff to look into this and see if there was any way for this to be viable within this particular ordinance. because the project that you represent, I think, is a very worthwhile one, and it represents a significant commitment to affordable housing. So it's something that philosophically I am very much supportive of and want to support. However, as your letter to the council indicated, the permits to the project expired well before the pandemic. And so this particular ordinance that's before us right now, it's obviously aimed towards the Land Use Board of Appeals, and it's focused specifically on remedying the impacts of COVID-19 to the development review process. And so, there are many development efforts that I would say are worthwhile that falls outside the scope of this particular proposal, which we have to keep narrowly focused on economic fallout from COVID. But I am committing my staff to creating equitable relief measures, and I want to keep the conversation alive. I just don't think it's appropriate in the context of this particular ordinance that is focused narrowly on the COVID piece. And given that your permits expired well before that, if we shoehorn it into this ordinance, I think it puts the whole ordinance at jeopardy when it gets to LUBA. So I just wanted to give you full transparency on my thinking around that.
And Mayor Wheeler, I wanted to thank you for that opportunity as well. I do understand that we will be further discussing this with staff, and I appreciate that opportunity. Most certainly understand your point of view and do not want to at all in any way jeopardize the effectiveness of this ordinance. So thank you very much.
Yeah, so hang in there. Let's continue the conversation. Thank you, Michelle.
Will do.
Very good. Carla, does that complete public testimony?
That's all who registered, Mayor.
Oh, very good. Okay. Colleagues, I don't know if there's any further comments or questions today.
Mayor, do you want to vote on the amendments?
No, we're going to keep those open.
Okay.
Mayor. So, Commissioner Daly, did you have a question?
I just wanted to make a couple comments before we end.
Sure.
I wasn't clear on how the vote was going to go. I just want to express my support for the IH extension and say that my office has received a lot of input on this topic, both for strengthening IH and for weakening the requirement. So I'm also really interested in that analysis. I want to know that we are getting a fair deal as well as giving one to developers. And then I also support the delayed SDC increase. I know that PBOT permitting has a 3 to 4 week backlog due to the COVID shutdown and the challenges of development review staff working at home. And it just wouldn't be fair to penalize developers for challenges that we're facing on the city level. So thank you for those, and that is it.
Excellent. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly. Hearing no further questions or statements from my colleagues, I want to thank staff who've worked so hard to prepare this proposal quickly to address the COVID-19 impacts on our development review customers. The record for oral testimony is now closed. As a reminder, the record for written testimony is still open. It will close on July 15th at 5 p.m. This matter is continued to July 22nd at 3:30 p.m. for a vote on the amendments. If council is in full agreement on the amendments and overall project at that hearing, we do have the option, if we so choose, of adding an emergency clause and taking a final vote on the ordinance. Unless there is anything else for the good of the order, that concludes today's hearing. Thank you all. We are adjourned. Thank you.